What a blessing to be here in God's house. It's good to see your smiling faces. Hey, go ahead and tell your face to smile. Only a few of you are smiling. It's not that boring yet. I haven't gotten started. No, I'm kidding. Hey, I want to briefly mention, I'm planning to start a series to go through and walk through the book of Revelation. I'm hoping to start that in a couple of weeks from now, maybe the first week of September. I'm not quite ready to do that, so I might have to push it back another week. But I'm trying to get all my ducks in a row. So here's your homework. As we prepare for that, you need to begin to read the book of Revelation. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. But need to begin to read the book of Revelation. Listen, if there's questions, it's normal, all right? If you're like, what is that about? That's normal. I want to try to kind of demystify it for you, though some of it is can be a little bit confusing. But that's going to be my hope with it, and I'm excited. Matter of fact, I couldn't plan today's sermon because my brain's in Revelation. And so, anyway, this morning we're going to talk about how Jesus heals blindness. Anybody believe that? Okay, turn with me to John chapter 9. I don't hear any pages turning. Okay. John chapter 9, verse 1. We're going to start right there, number 1. Forgive me, I started taking some allergy medicine yesterday, and my mouth is really dry today. So if I sound goofy, forgive me. If I have to take a few extra drinks of water, forgive me for that as well. But listen, I'm excited to share God's word with you this morning. You know, we've got to be in the word. We've got to know the word. We've got to. But knowing the word, being in the word and knowing the word isn't the same as living the word, is it? What did James say? You got to be hearers and doers of the word, right? So let us fulfill what the word says. And so with that being said, John chapter 9, verse 1, as Jesus was walking along, and of course he had his disciples with him, right? He saw a man who had been blind from birth. This man couldn't see and never had been able to see. Verse 2, his disciples said, "Hey, Rabbi, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?" Wow, that's a loaded question, isn't it? I'm going to, in a moment, I'm going to attempt to try to answer that. Verse 3, Jesus replies, see, notice the red letters are the ones that Jesus says. "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. So we have to be very, very careful as Christians that we have it in our, if something bad happens, we just automatically associate that it was something somebody did wrong. You want a case, you want a Old Testament case in point of that was Job. Anybody ever read the book of Job? Job went through it, okay? And even if you haven't went through it to the extent that Job has, sometimes that's still difficult, okay? Very difficult. But Job lost all his family except for his wife. He lost sons and daughters, many of both, lost like all his livestock. And then along come three friends, right? And they sit with Job for the first couple of days. And they just sit there, you know, and they're like, "Man, that's got to be tough." Maybe they pat him on the back. But then they can't contain it any longer. They have to speak out and they have to say something. And then they begin to say, "Job, you know it's because you sinned that all this happened." Can you imagine Job being an upright man of God? He says, "No. No, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't sin to cause this to happen." The disciples forgot about Job when they asked this question. And so we have to be very, very careful that when something bad happens, that we don't automatically assume that, well, it's because you did something and you sinned and that's now God's judging you for it. And here's what I mean. So if we funnel it all down, sickness and death do come from sin, don't they? Rewind all the way back to Adam and Eve. There was no sin. There was no sickness. There was no death until that moment that they ate from the tree, the one tree that they were not supposed to eat from in the Garden of Eden. And at that moment, sin entered the world, and so did sickness and death. They were going, eventually Adam and Eve died. And the same is going to be true for us, unless, of course, we're raptured, which is going to be exciting. So we have to be very, very careful that we're not even in the background of our minds saying, when somebody's telling us something, well, it's because you sinned. I think we need to be very, very careful about that. While at the same time, each one of us needs to continually evaluate ourselves, right? That's one of the purposes, I feel like, of Holy Communion. Then we sit there with the cracker representing the body of Jesus and the juice representing the blood of Jesus, and we're saying, Jesus, am I living up to par? Am I living right before you? Are we good? Right? I think that we need to keep that constant evaluation in our life and say, okay, am I living the way that I'm supposed to? And some things God does use to get our attention, doesn't he? But Jesus, I'm thankful for his answer. He said, no, guys, it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins that this was that he was blind. Jesus changes the subject and he said, no, this happened so the power of God could be seen in him. Wow. Totally flipped that up over, didn't he? They're looking for fault, and Jesus is looking for solution. He's looking at, no, God's going to get some glory out of this. What if we started thinking like that in our everyday life when we are faced with difficulty, when we're faced with different things that are going on? What if we look and say, God, will you use this to give yourself glory, to make your name look great? Will you use this to show your power to me and to others around me? Could change everything, couldn't it? Let's continue on. Verse 4. Jesus says, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. What's Jesus saying here? I think Jesus is simply saying, hey guys, we've got a task at hand, and he wanted to show them the power of God. And because one of these days, when the night was going to come, Jesus was no longer going to be around on this earth. He needed those disciples to have the faith to step up to the plate when it came their turn, when Jesus wasn't there right by their side leading the way, when it was going to be his Holy Spirit guiding them. Hey guys, let's get to it. We got work to do. Jesus evidently was task-oriented as well as people-oriented, wasn't he? Raise your hand if you're people-oriented. I know some of you are. Raise your hand if you're more task-oriented. I think some of you don't understand the question. Wake up. Verse 5, Jesus continues, but while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world, okay? So he's continuing to explain that. Guys, I'm the light, and we're gonna be shedding that light into some darkness. Verse 6. Okay, remember the blind guy that was born blind ever since he was born. So now Jesus is with this guy. Verse 6 says, then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. If you were blind and you knew I was going to do that, would you come up here? Seriously. If you knew you're going to get your sight back, yeah, you'd do it, wouldn't you? But I guess what I want to say here is sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to ask you to and instruct you to do something that seems weird. It doesn't mean it's not God. Can I ask a question? What did God make us out of? Dirt. Clay. Yep. See the verse 7. Jesus told the man, hey, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Okay, because he's got mud on his face, over his eyes. Go wash yourself. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back. What does it say? Seeing. You think he was maybe had a little grin on his face? No. This guy is probably looking around for Jesus with an enormous smile on his face from ear to ear. Don't you imagine? You could see all his pearly whites. And he's like, wow. Maybe he's going up and touching everybody and different things to, you know, textures. Because now he can see and put the two together. Jesus healed the guy from blindness. That's a big deal for that guy, isn't it? Because he was begging. Hey, because he couldn't work. He was begging all the time. And now he has a hope that, hey, I can earn a living. I can make money for myself and I don't have to rely on all my friends and be a burden to them. That's a big deal. Life changing, wasn't it? We're going to skip down a few verses because what happened was this blind man started telling folks and they were like, hey, wait, they begin to recognize him. Hey, aren't you the guy that used to beg over here that was blind? That's me. They're like, how many fingers am I holding up? No, I can see. Yeah, that's four. Okay. And so people after people, you know, individual after individual realizes that this guy used to be that guy. And so finally they're like, okay, what happened? And so he kept telling this story over and over and over. Guess what? When God does something in your life and people are asking about it so that God again gets the glory out of it, what opportunities God's going to give us as his people, right? To share what Jesus has done in our lives. And so that's what's going on. But now, excuse me, some of them, they take this man that can now see, they take him to the Pharisees. Now, some of you may not understand what that means. Pharisees, these were like the religious leaders, okay? They were the spiritual leaders. I'm telling you what, they knew the scriptures, okay? At that point, they didn't have the New Testament, okay? All they had was Old Testament. And so they knew the scriptures. They studied them from childhood. They had to know their stuff or they didn't get to call themselves Pharisees. So the Pharisees are asking this guy who now can see, hey, what's going on? What happened? So he told him what Jesus had done, that he spit in the ground, made mud, put it over his eyes, and then made him go wash in the pool. Now he can see. Well, hold on a second. But who's this Jesus guy? Who is he to you? Do you know anything about him? Nope. I just know. He says this. If you want to go back, you can read it. It's before this verse. He says, "All I know is once I was blind and now I can see." Right? And that's all you need to know. But not for the Pharisees. They had to know and see the problem was. The problem was it was on a Sabbath day that Jesus healed him. So verse 16, some of the Pharisees said, "This man Jesus is not from God." And they probably said, God, like that. That's how you say it when you're spiritual, I guess. This man Jesus is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath. But look, even in among the Pharisees, look at this. Others said, but how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs? So there was a deep division of opinion among them. Here's the problem. These Pharisees had a critical spirit. Well, you can't heal on a Sabbath day. That's against the law. against God's word. And in one aspect, they were accurate. You weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath day. But Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Does that make sense? So the Sabbath, the whole concept with the Sabbath is God knows that we need rest. Everybody look at me. It's okay to rest. You need to. God basically not only suggested it, he commanded it. But the problem is these Pharisees, they've taken it too far. Should we obey God's word? Well, absolutely. But Jesus saw this poor man who couldn't see, and he had the ability to help him, and so he did. Right? What is at fault there? Nothing. Matter of fact, Jesus told the Pharisees in another account, listen, if your donkey fell into a pit, wouldn't you go and help the donkey out? You wouldn't wait till tomorrow just because today's the Sabbath. You'd help your donkey out. So these Pharisees, they have a critical spirit. There's this, well, you didn't do it right. You didn't do that quite right. That's not how it should be done. And in another place, the Pharisees were accused, they accused Jesus' disciples of not washing their hands the right way before they ate. Please don't bother me with that kind of stuff. Pastor, they didn't wash their hands. Because they had a ceremony about it, evidently. A certain way it was supposed to be done. And they're like, but they didn't do it the right way. You see the criticalness there? And so that's a heart issue, isn't it? But it's covered up by what looks like obedience to the word. Uh-oh. Do you hear that? Their critical spirit didn't seem like a critical spirit because it was covered up by what seemed like righteousness according to the Bible. I'm just going to let that sink in. It's an issue, and you're going to see it some more. Let's skip down verse 35. So these Pharisees drill this poor guy who used to be blind. What happened? I already told you. Well, we don't believe you. So they bring mom and dad in. Mom, dad, is this your son? Well, yes. Was he born blind? Yes. Can he now see? Do we need to answer that? Well, how did he get healed? Ask him. He's grown. Mom and dad wanted to stay out of it. I would imagine they were thankful that their son could now see. It probably meant a little pressure off of them, but they didn't want to be kicked out of the church by saying that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. So Jesus, here in verse 35, Jesus hears that they had been drilling this poor guy. He went and found the man and he asked. Look at what Jesus asks here, though. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Jesus doesn't come and say, oh man, that's got to be tough. How many times did they ask you the same thing? Who said what? Jesus wasn't asking those kinds of questions. Hey, how's your sight? No. What does Jesus ask? Really, the very next question. The next one that should have been. Do you believe? Do you believe in the Son of Man? What does the guy say? Verse 36, the man answered, who is he? I want to believe him. I want to believe in him. So he had heard about this Messiah, but he didn't quite know who he was yet. And then Jesus says in verse 37, oh, you've seen him. Not just touched him, now you've seen him because he healed you. He healed you, man. Jesus, he said this, and he's speaking to you. So what matters most to Christ? Not only that the guy could see, but that the guy would believe in his heart of hearts. You see that? pretty powerful, really. Wow. He doesn't ask how his eyes are doing. He doesn't ask about the trouble of answering those questions. Oh, are you afraid they're going to kick you out of the synagogue? No, Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? He asked the important question. Because listen, we're not going to stand before God someday and God's going to say, well, I allowed you to see or I didn't allow you to see or this or that. He's going to ask, did you believe in the Savior, the one I prepared, the one I gave for you? Man. You see, the spiritual aspect of life is even more important than the physical aspect. Jesus demonstrates in another place in the New Testament that he goes so far to say, because sin is so bad, Jesus goes so far to say, listen, if your eye causes you to sin, go ahead and gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Do you see? Now, listen, I'm not, Jesus was not, nor am I telling you to hurt yourself. Not at all. Jesus was helping people to understand the severity of sin and how destructive it really is. That it would be better if you gouged your own eyes out than to continue to sin. Now, we know that cutting your hand off or gouging your eyes out isn't going to cause you to not sin anymore. Because it's a heart issue, isn't it? So don't hurt yourself, okay? But maybe there are some other things that you can put in place to help you. But Jesus asked the question, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, yes, I want to. Oh, you have seen him. Verse 38, yes, Lord, I believe. He uses the word Lord. Yes, I believe that you are who you say you are. I believe that you're the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who was to come. I believe. And it says in verse 38, look at that. This is super important. And he worshiped Jesus. Listen, church, that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. We are called to worship Jesus. Now, listen, I want to make this point. You don't worship Jesus if he's not worthy of worship. But he is. And we're going to see that as we walk through the book of Revelation. I'm so excited. It's going to be great. Let's look at verse 39. Then Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. So there's evidently more than just being physically blind, there's being spiritually blind. And each one of us, like the Pharisees, have that, there's a chance that we could get that way. They probably didn't start out that way. But Jesus says, listen, I entered the world to render judgment. I entered the world to give sight to the blind. Praise God. And he did that. And to show those who think they see that they're blind. Do you know that Jesus, he had a lot of beef with these Pharisees time after time. Because of this right here, they thought they had the answer. They thought they had it figured out, and their hearts were in the wrong place. Jesus, there were others who were brought to Jesus that had done what we would consider worse sins, and Jesus breathes nothing but grace. But when it came to the Pharisees, boy, he put his finger in their chest, if you will. Hey, this ain't right. And boy, he let them have it. Called them hypocrites. Because they were. You see, the people that Jesus encountered that came with a humble heart and saying, oh, I'm wrong. I've done wrong. And Jesus breathed all kinds of grace. But the hearts that said, no, I'm right. And didn't care about people and didn't care about what the Lord cared about, he confronted them every time. So don't be, Let's not think that we're right and think that we can see so great. Let's be humble of heart. And let's be teachable. What do you say? Let's allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. Let's allow him to direct our steps. Verse 40. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, "Are you saying we're blind?" Yep, that's what I'm saying. Verse 41 says, and Jesus responds, "If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But you remain guilty because you claim you can see." So I simply this morning want to caution against spiritual blindness. We can think we're doing right, but we can have wrong motives, and then that makes it wrong. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says this: "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time." Listen right here. "He has planted eternity in the human heart." And I'm going to call that eternal sight. It's spiritual sight. It's not blindness when we realize that heaven is to gain. And we live with heaven in sight, in view, then we're getting it. When we're doing things so that we can go to heaven, when we're doing things so that others can go to heaven, then that means we're starting to get it. But until then, not so much. God has put that in our hearts, and it's a spiritual sight that he wants us to have. But how often do we go to and fro and we go about our business and we don't consider anything of eternity? When we're doing that, we're blind. A couple other verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul writes, he says, "Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe." Satan can blind our minds. He blinds the minds of those who do not believe in Jesus. "They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God." So Satan aids in blinding people, doesn't he? But this blindness isn't people that walk around that can't see what's in front of them. It's they don't see the realities of the spiritual realm and of eternity. Now, I'm not saying that to say that there's a demon behind every bush, but there is this spiritual realm. We need to be mindful of it. We need to be mindful that Jesus is Jesus, God's Son, and that we walk in his power and we walk in his authority as his children. We can walk wherever he wants us to walk, right? We can go wherever he wants us to go, and he wants to give us his heart so that we are showing grace and love and the power of God to other people around us. Let us be able to see. But the good news, as Jesus already proved, he heals the blind. And now I'm talking about that spiritual blindness. But let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus read out of the Old Testament in the synagogue one day. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind, and let me say spiritually blind, will see, that the oppressed will be set free." Praise God. So, Charlie, would you mind coming and playing something for the altar time? I want to apply this to our hearts, okay? It's that application time, the time to respond to the Word of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, I'm not following Jesus. I haven't cared. It's not been on my radar. But this morning you realize, kind of like that blind man, well, who is the Messiah? Well, the Messiah is Jesus. The Savior of the world is Jesus. And today, if you want to make him the Lord of your life, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand so that I can see it. Yeah. Anyone else? Want to make Jesus the Lord of my life? And so for the rest of us, maybe you have been serving Christ, but you realize today that maybe there's some blind spots. Maybe there's some areas of the heart that your motives are not right, your motives are not pure, or maybe there's a critical spirit there where, well, pastor didn't do that right, or so-and-so didn't do that right, or we want to breathe grace, and we want to be motivated by the Holy Spirit. We want to be motivated by eternity. If that's you this morning, for either one, will you meet me in the altar and let's pray. Let's apply the word of God to our life. Let's allow and ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse us and to get rid of that and to give us fresh, clear vision instead. Because it's easy. It can happen to any of us. But we're doing things for the wrong reason. If that's you, let's move out. Let's spend time with the Lord.